Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And all I can say is, y'all say it with me, it is a great word. It is a great word today on this 15th day of November. God's time is flying. Can you believe we are not that far from Christmas? November 15th, we are a week away from Thanksgiving. It went too quick for my taste. But I'm grateful. And I'm thankful that God gave me another day. Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning lifting up the name of Jesus with a hopeful, grateful heart, God, that all things work for good because we are trusting and believing in you, God. So, Father God, I lift up this word asking you to give us discernment, to give us understanding, that this word will permeate in our hearts, that it will penetrate our hearts, and percolate in our minds and spirits. Lord God, give us understanding, strength, and wisdom. And Father God, we ask you to be with us wherever we go. And Lord God, I lift up this word asking that the words of our mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer, Father God. And I put my faith in you. I put my faith in you, God, knowing that the just shall live by faith. And Lord, I don't want to be out in the number of those that do not hear you, that do not see you, that do not follow you, Lord God. I don't want to draw back. I don't want to draw back, and I don't want to wind up in perdition. So, Father God, I ask you to please increase as I decrease and allow me, Lord, understanding of your word and wisdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hi, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. It was sleepy host who had a good night's sleep, and I don't understand why I'm yawning, but I'm feeling good on this snowy day in Illinois. It's snowing and it's cold, and I have to go out, but I am excited because it's still a new day that God gave us that he didn't have to. So I'm grateful, I'm thankful, and I know I'm blessed. Hallelujah. So let's give honor to God. Just say thank you, Lord, this morning with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When we tell God thank you, because so many times we constantly say, Lord, I want, Lord, I need, Lord, help, Lord. As soon as you're saying thank you for what I got. Thank you for what I have, God. Thank you for what I have. Help me to appreciate my blessings. So let's get started in our word this morning. We have a lot of word today. As you all know, Ezekiel chapters are long, and we want to get through everything. We have a life principle, and we want to make sure we get to that today. And our title is coming out of Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 38. And so let's get in it. Get your Bible. Because we're about to move forward in it. And as I look at all that we have read, I am amazed that we have just kept moving forward every time we are together. That we have not a lot of word left. December 31st will be here before we can blink. And we can say on December 31st, we have read the entire Bible. What an accomplishment. And I pray that God lets us do so. So let's get started. Get your Bible out. If you want to put a marker on your Bible, we are in Ezekiel chapter 21 through chapter 22, verse 31. We'll be in 126th Psalm, Proverbs chapter 28, and we'll be in verse 23, and we'll be in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 39. And today we're talking faith, and tomorrow we'll be talking faith as well. So today starts our faith day, and today is the just shall live by faith. And tomorrow it'll be another title of faith, the substance of things hoped for. So I pray that you join me on tomorrow for our second faith day. And today it says, in Ezekiel chapter 21, starting at verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Jerusalem, preach against the holy places, and prophesy against the land of Israel. And say to the land of Israel, thus says the Lord, behold, I am against you, and I will draw my sword out of its sheath, and cut off both righteous and wicked from you. Because I will cut off both righteous and wicked from you, therefore my sword shall go out of its sheath against all flesh south to north, that all flesh may know that I, the Lord, have drawn my sword out of its sheath, and it shall not return any more. Sigh, therefore, son of man, with a breaking heart, and sigh with bitterness before their eyes. And it shall be, when they say to you, why are you sighing, that you shall answer, because of the news. When it comes, every heart will melt. All hands will be feeble. Every spirit will faint. And all knees will be weak as water. Behold, it is coming and shall be brought to pass, says the Lord God. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy, say, thus says the Lord, say, A sword is sharpened, also polished, sharpened to make a dreadful slaughter, polished to flesh like lightning. Should we then make mirth? It despises the scepter of my son, as it does all wood, and he has given it to be polished, that it may be handled. This sword is sharpened, and it is polished to be given into the hand of the slayer. Cry well, son of man, for it will be against my people, against all the princes of Israel. Terrors, including the sword, will be against my people. Therefore, strike your thigh, because it is tested. And what if the sword despises even the scepter? The scepter shall be no more, says the Lord God. You, therefore, son of man, prophesy and strike your hands together. The third time, let the sword, it is the sword that slays, the sword that slays the great man, that enters the private chamber. I have set the point of the sword against all their gates, that their heart may melt and many may stumble. Ah, it is made great. It is grass with water. Sword at the ready, thrust right, set your blade, thrust left, wherever your edge is ordered. What a word. Whew. I also will beat my fist together, and I will cause my fury to rest. I, the Lord, have spoken. God gets tired of foolishness. He got sick and tired of being sick and tired of Israel. Who was the love? It's love. He created it in love. He cross with it in love. But hard-headed, stiff-necked folks chose some piece of wood, bronze statue, over a righteous God. Chose to bow down to men instead of a righteous God. And we wonder why God, in his anger, destroyed Israel. Because they were not doing right. And if we don't want God to destroy us, we got to change our ways. And it goes on to say, the word of the Lord came and he said, and son of man, appoint for yourself two ways for the sword of the king of Babylon to go. Both of them shall go forth, go from the same land. Make a sign. Put it at the head of the road to the city. Appoint a road for the sword to go. To Rabbi of the Ammonites, to Judah, and to fortify Jerusalem. For the king of Babylon stands at the parting of the road, at the fork of the two roads. He uses divination. He takes the arrows. He consults the images. He looks at the living. And this right in his right hand is the divination for Jerusalem. To set up battering rams, to call for a slaughter, to lift the voice with shouting, to set battering rams against the gates. To lead up a siege mount. And to build a wall. And it will be to them like a false divination in the eyes of those who have sworn oath with them. But he will bring their iniquity to remembrance that they may be taken. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have made your iniquity to be remembered in that your transgressions are uncovered, so that in all your doing, your sins appear, because you have come to remember, you shall be taken in hand. Now to you, O profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose days have come, whose iniquity shall end, thus says the Lord God, remove the turban and take off the crown. Nothing shall remain the same. Exalt the humble and humble the exalted. Overthrown, overthrown, I will make it overthrown. It shall be no longer until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it to him. We talk to Jesus. And you, son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God concerning the Ammonites and concerning their reproach, and say, a sword is drawn. Polished for slaughter, for flashing, while they see false visions for you, while they divine a lie to you, to bring you on the rock, on the neck of the wicked, the slave, whose day has come, whose iniquity shall end, return it to its sleep. I will judge you in the place where you were created, in the land of your nativity. I will pour out my indignation on you. I will blow against you with the fire of my wrath and deliver you into the hands of brutal men who are skillful to destroy. You shall be fuel for the fire. Your blood shall be in the midst of the land. You shall not be remembered, for I, the Lord, have spoken. And let's call it like it is and like it was. What God said, you won't be remembered, they're not remembered. God has already done some things. He has already shown us some things. God does not play, and don't get it twisted that he does. God is trying to tell us something. The question is, are we listening? Chapter 22. I'll go back over Ezekiel life lessons at the end of chapter 22, and then we'll give our disclaimer and everything after chapter 22. And it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, now, son of man, we at the bloody city. Yes, show her all her abominations. Then say, thus says the Lord God, the city sheds blood in her in her ownness, that her time may come, and she may idle within herself to defile herself. You have become guilty by the blood which you have shed, and have defiled yourself with the idols which you have made. You have caused your days to draw near, and you have come to the end of your years. Therefore, I will make you a reproach to the nations and a mockery to all countries. Those near and those far from you will mock you as infamous and full of torment. Ooh. He ain't playing. God does not play. What he says he will do, he will do. And he says, look, the princes of Israel, each one has used his power to shed blood in you. In you, they have made light of father and mother. In your midst, the stranger. In you, they have mistreated the fatherless and the widow. You have despised my holy things and profaned my Sabbath. In you are men who slander to cause bloodshed. In you are those who eat on the mountains. In your midst, they commit lewdness. In your men uncover their father's nakedness. In you, they violate women who are set apart during their impurity. One commits abominations with his neighbor's wife, another lewdly defiles his daughter-in-law, and another in you violates his sister, his father's daughter. In Uzi, all of in it, ain't it? I just realized what he's saying. He's talking adultery. He's talking, you know, having relations when a woman is on her menses. He's talking incest. He is all up in it. You know, adultery with the sister-in-law. Doing a woman's menses when she don't want to. In other words, rape. And then it says, I mean, God did it all right here. You know, all those things that are undercover that folks don't want to talk about, and that may be the crux of some of the situations that some women have, where they are afraid and seek alternatives to having children or having these particular children. We got to understand there's a whole lot more to the story, and God knows it all. But in this word, God tells us, in you, men uncover their father's nakedness. In you, they violate women who are set apart during an ages or impurity. One commits abomination with his neighbor's wife. What is one of the top 10 commandments? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. And another one is thou shalt not commit adultery. It's all there. Another lewdly defiles his sister-in-law. Come on now. And another, another in you violates his sister. You think that through. His father's daughter, which means you're talking incest. In you, they take bribes to shed blood. In you, using an increase, you have made profit from your neighbors by extortion and a forgotten who says the Lord God. Just break it. Before, behold, therefore, I beat my fist at the dishonest profit which you have made and all the bloodshed which has been in your midst. Can your heart endure, or can your hands remain strong in the days when I shall deal with you? I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. I will scatter you among the nations, disperse you throughout the country, and remove your filthiness completely from you. You shall defy yourself in the sight of the nations. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Oh, Lord, don't play with God. The word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me, and they are all bronze, tin, iron, and lead in the midst of a furnace. They have become dross from silver. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have all become dross, therefore I will gather you into the midst of the nation, as men gather silver, bronze, iron, lead, tin in the midst of the furnace to blow fire on it to melt it. So I will gather you in my anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. Yes, I will gather you and blow on you with the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in this midst. As silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall you be melted in the midst. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury on you. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to her, you are a land that is not land of ruin on in the day of indignation. The conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing their prey. They have devoured people. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbath, so that I am profaned among them. Her princes in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gain. Her prophets plaster them with untempered mortar, seeing false deeds and divining lies for them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord of the land have used oppression, committed robbing, and mistreated the poor and the needy. They have wrongfully oppressed the stranger. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. Woo! Ezekiel is wild. It is a wow. God does not play. Don't play, church. Don't play. God will mess you up. Ezekiel 21:27. It shall be no longer until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it to him. With the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians, the line of David ceased to rule on Israel's throne. According to this prophecy, no other divinity king will rule until Jesus Christ, and his rule will last. Come on now. You got folks with the pretend that they from the line of David. Mm-mm. The Lord is going to show up and show out. Just wait. Jesus is the line of David. Jesus is the lion of David. Jesus is the one that will sit on that throne. No other king can claim this. Only Jesus. We got to be very careful, because the spirit of the Antichrist is here. And he is trying his best to get us off our squares. He is trying his best to take us out of the light and put us into darkness. We got to fight. We got to fight the fight with faith. We got to know who we belong to. We got to stand on faith. We got to believe. Shall live by faith. We got to have faith that Jesus is coming back. We got to have faith that our Father God will never leave us or forsake us. We got to have faith and stand in courageousness. We got to be courageous. We got to be courageous. We got to stand in courage. Because the enemy will do his best to beat you down, to knock you out of your spot, to just create chaos in your life so that you don't have time to spend with God. Ezekiel 22:14, can your heart endure or can your hands remain strong in the days when I shall deal with you? God knows how to turn up the heat slowly until his wayward people admit their sin and turn from it. God will transform his people into the image of his son, and he will do whatever it takes to accomplish it. Whew. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. Go get out. Ezekiel 22:30, I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Remember when he was taken, going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham fought. He's like, if it's this many, if it's 10, God. You know, if it's 50, if it's 30, if it's 10, if it's however many I can throw out there, it is not. I think it's 10 like it's 10. I would not be short. But the only one that was righteous was Lot. And Lot wasn't all that, but God saved Lot because of Abraham. And then he destroyed it. Because he said, I fought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy, but I found no one. He didn't find anybody in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's not finding anyone in Jerusalem. Is he going to find someone in this United States? Is he going to find someone in Canada? Is he going to find someone on the continent of Africa? Is he going to find someone on the continent of Asia? Is he going to find someone? Someone in Israel. As Dr. Stanley says, God calls us, his people, to stand in the gap. Are you standing in the gap for someone today? Are you standing in the gap for a son or a daughter or a mother or a father? Are you standing in the gap for your sisters or your brothers who do not know Jesus? Are you standing in the gap for someone? And I love how that says, God calls us his people. Are you here? To stand in the gap and call those around us to repentance and new life in Christ who do not know what that means to hear the good news, whose heart needs the softening of your prayers. We gotta pray for each other. When you go to prayer service and there's the same two or three, but the word of God says when two or three gather in my name, I will be in the midst. So we know that God is in the midst of the prayer service. But more need to come. Think about what Jesus said when he took Peter, James, and John with him to pray in Gethsemane before his death. He had all the disciples. We know Judas wasn't it with his backstabbing self. But again, Judas did his assignment. But Jesus said, will you just stay away from me for an hour? Will you just join me for an hour to prayer? And I say to you, will you just join me for an hour for the study of God's word, for the reading of his word? 1 hour. That's all we ask. Because God, his word is important. And if you don't know it, you can't live by it. 1 hour. 1 hour of prayer is all it's asked of us at a church. Now, every Tuesday, 5 to 6, 1 hour to pray for everything and everybody to stand in the gap. 1 hour. And as we go into our lessons some more, you know, I want to just remind you, I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principle Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And Dr. Stanley, he is the author of the Life Lessons, the Scriptures of God. But the commentary is Dr. Stanley and whatever God gives me to say. And as we get ready to go into our psalm this morning, please join me in the 126th Psalm. It's again a song of ascent. It says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, you know that what we're talking about in Ezekiel is captivity. We were like those who dreamed. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said amongst the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who now who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Oh, praise the Lord. He who continually goes from weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What's the song? Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. God has given us a love. Because we just shall live by faith that one day we will sow a lot from our weeping. Whatever you put that seed in the ground, your tears, water, all have gone through. Lord, by God. And it says in Psalms 126:5, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. And Dr. Tony says, God never presumes that this life will be free of hardship or pain. But he insists that for those who know and love him, our tears are nothing but seeds that will bloom one day into enormous trees of joy. Hallelujah. It's a seed in the ground. Are you weeping? Do you have the tears? Because the Lord will turn your weeping into joy. Saying away, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. How many of us have sown in tears? I got my hand up. But I know that I know my daddy God is in charge of my life. And we can mess up, but God will take everything to make you depend on him. I depend on you, God. You said in your word that you would take care of widows. You said in your word you would take care of orphans. You said in your word that you would be here for us. I'm believing God that he is with us, that he is with me, that he is with you. I'm living on faith. Hallelujah. I drive on faith. I worship in faith. I read this word in faith. And the Hebrews 10:31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The hands the writer has in mind, they are not the hands of divine grace, but those of divine judgment. Can a gracious God also dispense fearful discipline? The writer of Hebrews thought so. And we get ready to go into Hebrews chapter 10. And so we're going to read this verse very shortly. And when we go back out of Ephesians Hebrews, it says no Christian has ever been called to go alone in a walk of faith. So let's see what the Word of God has to say in chapter 10 of Hebrews. And we're starting at verse 19. And it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Everything God promised, he is faithful to fulfill it. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. There it is. Yeah, folks, like I was one. I can't talk about anybody, but I can talk about myself. They didn't want to go to church. All of us, hypocrites, children, horribly. You know, if you're not from the right family, you're treated wrong. I watched it, and I was like, I'm done. Not understanding, God was calling me to teach Sunday school, but I chose the wrong path and left the church because I got offended. offense is not of God. We better understand that folks sitting home right now because they're calling it church hurt when you get offended because somebody said this or said that that hurt your feelings. Get over it. Get over it. Because you don't know whose life you could be ruining. You don't know whose soul you could have been there saving, whose life would have been different had you done what you were supposed to do. I'm speaking for me. I can't speak for you. But I know that what this word says is the truth. You got to go to church. Because the word tells us, and let us consider one another of love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see in the day approaching. More prayer, more power. Unity of the body of Christ makes us strong. All these divisions, you know, I got the church of this and the this or that. And before long, you got all these denominations. And what is a denominator but the thing that divides? We need to come together as men and women of God, members of the way, the truth, and the light, which is we got to know who our Savior is. And it's not man. It's not Father this. It's not Pastor this. It's not Reverend that. It is Jesus. It says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, who is the truth? Jesus. That no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified as come on now. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What did we just read in Ezekiel? God said, get my sword ready. Get it all nice and sharp and shiny because I'm about to tear up some stuff. We better understand God is watching everything we do. And it says in verse 32, of Hebrews chapter 10, but recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with suffering, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. But you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully acknowledging of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Hallelujah. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which is great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Jesus is not going to tarry. He's coming when it is his time. And we better understand as we wait on the Lord that he has given us time to get our stuff in order, to get our bags packed, to get our faith right, to do what we are supposed to do for the Heavenly Father, that we will be right and righteous when Jesus comes so that we are not one of the ones getting slaughtered by that nice shining sword. Hallelujah. It says, now the just shall live by faith. But anyone draws back, my soul has no place in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Understand, we can't be like God's wife. I'm going to look back. I'm moving forward. You better keep up. because God ain't got time to play. And he will not play with us. And he says, again, I'm going back to verse 31. And when we go back to verse 31, in our scripture, it says, it is a simple thing to fall to the hands of the living God. But when we go back to verse 36, when we know him, who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. And if you go back up to this life lesson again, it says, it is a simple thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The hands the writer has in mind, there are not the hands of the divine grace, but those of divine judgment. Can a gracious God also dispense fearful discipline? The writer of Hebrews thought so, and so did he, because he didn't play. And when we go back over it in our Proverbs, he who rebukes a man will find more favor afterwards than he who flatters with his tongue. God just ain't got time for all that. Just do what's right. You know, you got folks that pray 50 billion hours, same thing over and over and over. And God is like, okay, don't change anything. I can stand in the church house and pray for 2 hours. And that prayer didn't go anywhere but to the roof. Because I wanted to make sure everybody saw me. I had on my church dress. I had on my church hat. I had on my come to Jesus suit. And I had on my robe. Yeah, my new robe that the church bought me. And I had on my this and I had on my that. And I did this. All superficial. So the word of God has told us. And sometimes you just need to sit down, go in your closet, and pray. Sometimes you need to just quietly pray. And for folks that want to speak in tongues and pray in tongues, if there is no interpreter, your prayer again is causing folks to run like them folks crazy over there, talking gibbly goop. We got to be careful that we give the right image of God. But our job is for souls to be saved. That's our assignment. It's salvation and telling the good news, the great commission to make disciples. We don't have time to sit down and be quiet. We got to talk about Jesus from the youngest to the oldest. It's all about Jesus, who will sit on the throne of David, who will make sure your children come home that have been scattered over every nation. Well, in peace and captivity. God is speaking. All is listening. Life principle. Dr. Stanley, no Christian has ever been called to go it alone in his or her walk of faith, but not by itself. He's with us always. And this is what Dr. Stanley said. So if you want to grab a pen and paper to listen and write down some of these things. It says the writer of Hebrews knew that his audience, Jewish Christians, who had just come to faith, were struggling with how to incorporate the Jewish heritage into their walk with Christ. The author therefore spends a great deal of time explaining that Jesus Christ prepared the way for uninterrupted fellowship with his Father. He is a new high priest. His death provided the way for individuals to have personal access to God without series of complicated steps. Did the veil not tear from the top down? Come on now. That was difficult for the Jewish Christians to accept. They were accustomed to participating in a variety of ceremonial washings and offerings to be cleansed from their sins. Immediate access to God apart from those things was something new. But the writer insisted that they could go directly to the Father through Christ. The author also knew the challenge facing those these recent converts to remain faithful to their newly formed faith, so he exhorted them to hold fast. Then he took it one step further. He instructed his leaders to help another, one another, hold fast. He knew they would tend to drift from the truth. He anticipated the need for other believers to help them stay on track. So he said, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That was verse 24. The Greek term translated stir up literally means to irritate. In essence, he was spurring one another along. Watch out for one another. Take up responsibility for one another. With the backdrop, he instructed them not to stop meeting together. Verse 25, they needed one another to give up meeting together would spell disaster. In meeting together, they found the mutual encouragement to keep going. Wow. God wants his children to regularly meet with other believers. He wants his people in church. Many believers don't take the admonition seriously because they don't know the reason behind it. How often I have heard the refrain, I can worship God at home. Boop, all up in my business. And I can say, ouch, that's your heart right then. Because I was one of them people. I can worship God at home. I don't need to go to church. All up in my grill. All up in my business. Putting on that tight, don't fit you. Come on now. How many believers believe the sole reason we meet together is to worship? And understandably so. After all, we call it a worship service. If worship were the only reason we are commanded to meet, then those who claim they can worship at home would have a strong argument. But worship is not the sole reason we are commanded to meet together. Nor is it so that we can be taught the word. We can turn on our radios and television and hear good Bible teachers. Come on now. He's one of them that I like to listen to. Good Bible teachers. Him and Tony Evans. They my guys. I love to hear Dr. Stanley and Dr. Evans preach. They would tear it up, and they are preaching directly from the word of God. No feeling, just God's word. And I'm telling you, Dr. Stanley is right. He can, whew, thank you, Lord. And it goes on to say, on the surface, it would seem that anything we can do at church, we can do just as well at home alone. Then they're done, they got the, I'm home at church. It wasn't working, and it didn't work. That's why God convicted me so hard when I came back into his house. And I haven't left. It's been almost 20 years that I came back. Because I was lost. I loved God so much that I was lost. Because I had allowed the enemy to put the spirit of offense into me. I'd allowed him to take away my joy. Because my joy was being in God's house. My joy was working for the Lord. My joy was doing whatever God called me to do. And I allowed myself to fall by the wayside. To walk in offense. Don't let anybody run you away from the house of God. Don't let anyone hurt your feelings that you think you don't want to go to church anymore. Don't allow the devil to go off. Well, if I can't work in the kitchen, then I don't want to go to church. If I can't, I told the pastor that I wanted to be a missionary, and now she wasn't even letting me. Let me go out and do anything. They don't support me at all in my ministry. And I got to go to that church. And then what happens? I don't have to go to that church. And then it becomes, I don't have to go to church. Paul is speaking, and God is letting us understand so we can see ourselves. And then it goes, Dr. Stanley goes on to say, so why are we commanded to meet? Why go to church? The writer of Hebrews says it is to safeguard against drifting. Woo! Forces around us want to blow us off course. Sheer individual commitment is not enough to keep us in line. At times we feel as if our faith makes no difference. We see no fruit in our lives, and we don't seem to be making any difference to anyone else's life, either during those times. We feel tempted to pull up anchor and drift after all, isn't everybody else? Then we drag ourselves to church and discover that we are not alone. We hear others testify that God came through for them in a tight spot. Someone else describes the pain suffering when he left the faith. A new believer tells her story and rejoices in God's grace. And then something begins to happen inside of us. We are spurred on to faithfulness. Whew. I tell you, God did it. The accountability and encouragement found in church that work to sweep us away, to neglect the regular assembly of fellow Christians, is to miss out on this essential element in the development of our faith. God desires a close relationship with his children. By becoming active in the local church, you safeguard yourself against missing out on all that God has for you. I'm speaking it for myself. This was me. And I missed out on some great things that God had for me to do. And I messed up lives because of it. And I'm speaking the truth. We've got to understand what we do may affect someone else. Who, Lord God, I ask you to cover. And I'm going to say it one more time. God desires a close relationship with his children. By becoming active in a local church, you safeguard yourself against missing out on all that God has for you. Your participation in a local church protects your personal fellowship with God. When you drift away from the family of God, it is only a matter of time until you drift away from fellowship with God. Church should encourage you to cling to the hope that is in you. If yours doesn't, then I recommend you visit another church. There it is. Keep in mind, however, that there is no perfect church. Did you hear that? There is no perfect church. Find one that accurately presents scripture. Thank God for my church. I thank God for the table. I thank God for Pastor Jesse. I thank God for all those that I attend church with, because it is a lot of love there. Keep in mind, however, that there is no perfect church. Find one that accurately, come on now, presents scripture. We are a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and practically demonstrates God's love. I'm thankful. And remember that you, too, have a responsibility to accurately use your spiritual gifts for the benefit of other believers. Thank God this morning. Again, now the just shall live by faith. Are you walking in your faith today? Are you trusting that God is leading you where he needs you to go? Are you believing that all things are working for good? Are you knowing that God is guiding you? Because we are his faithful children, and he loves us more than you can imagine. I thank God this morning for this mighty word, the just shall live by faith. If you are not in church, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. If you live in my community, come join us at the Table of Life Ministries. You will find love, peace, and joy. The joy of the Lord, which is our strength. You got to know who we belong to. And it just so happens our word for this morning, family matters. If someone does not know how to manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? 1 Timothy 3:5. Ooh. Father, you lead us freely with the wisdom you have. There are no mysteries to you, and you're not searching for answers. I come to you today with an open heart, ready to receive your faith. There is nothing I have need of that you can't supply. I know it. You are the anchor that keeps me from drifting, from storms of confusion come to toss me around. You are the cliff I hide in when the arrows of the enemy are threatening me. You set me on the rock, your firm foundation, and no matter what, your bare rock doesn't crack or shift. Lord, I hear your heart when you examine my life and challenge my ways. If I am faithful with what I have, it reflects in you. If I don't show care to my own, then how could I ever care for those who don't belong to me? Give me grace to give myself fully to my family, that they are not a lesser priority in your kingdom. Your love starts first there. I hear you, Lord, and I repent for how I've neglected to love for my own gain or comfort, bring restoration. We got to repent. And I repent it, Lord, forgive me for not doing what I was called to do when I was called to do it. And the word says, do you put your family first over your ministry or your job? And the answer, that is an individual thing that you talk to God about. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for this morning is this. Things have a way of working out. Never underestimate, come on now, all up in the word, the power of prayer, faith, and love. More than anything, never underestimate the power of God to see you through. Woo, hallelujah. Have a triumphant Tuesday, family. That is all I have this morning. And it has been a word to make us think. If there's anyone that has a word from God, to push your button and raise your hand. The number one is what you push. If there is not, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord. I pray that it was acceptable in your holy sight. And I pray over all of you. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, watching each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours. If you do not have a church body, find one. It is important that you worship with others that will help you, that will help your growth, that you take your children to church. Don't just send them. Take them so that you will learn right along with them. God is calling us for a meaning. He's calling us to walk in faith of a just shall live by faith. But as you go forth in that word, it also tells you yet for a little while, and he that shall come will come. We got to keep trusting God. And all I have for you all is be blessed and have a great day. Love you all. Come join me tomorrow, 7 a.m.